Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Private Officer Talk Radio Network. We're glad that you have joined us on this beautiful Sunday afternoon, a very warm, sunny, hot Sunday afternoon for May the 2nd here in 2010. We have had quite the weather episodes in the southeast. We have a lot to talk about today, including some breaking news. You are probably aware of by now that yesterday afternoon, early evening, in New York City's Times Square, a very heavily traveled, populated segment of the city, a car bomb was found in the heart of Times Square. Police have confirmed this late yesterday evening and now are going about their investigation. Just in the last hour, authorities say that a Pakistani Taliban group has taken the blame for this. They say that they did it and that there are other bombs planted in the U.S. Now, if you have not been keeping up on the news and are not aware of all the details, let me just fill you in just briefly here. The episode began last night, Saturday evening, in Times Square. According to the New York Police Department, the NYPD, a uniformed officer happened upon the vehicle and saw some light, hazy smoke from the vehicle, went to investigate. And thankfully, the bomb did not explode while he was checking out the car. But NYPD officers say that police spotted what appeared to be propane tanks and other apparatus configured together as a bomb. So officers quickly called in additional personnel, the bomb squad, and began to evacuate Times Square at around 6:30 Eastern time. Police officers say that they were not sure what they had. For several hours, they used a robot to finally break a window to get a closer look using a attached camera and found that in the Nissan Pathfinder, there were several propane tanks, gasoline containers, black powder, and an ignition source. Now, this is a very dangerous combination. This is the type of bomb, IED, that's used and has been used during the Iraq War. This is also the type of bomb that has been used in a number of car bomb situations in Ireland. And definitely, this is a heightened security situation. Last night, during the event, Private Officer International and the news department here was on top of the situation. In fact, we were in the top 1% of only a few media outlets reporting the incident as it was taking place. Very disappointing here in the U.S. to see that something as big and as dangerous as a car bomb in New York City got so little press in the beginning. Most TV stations continued their regular programs. Only one, MSNBC, broke into their reporting, into their regular programming, and began carrying the event live. But I can proudly tell you today that within just a short time of this event unfolding, our news department became aware of it from a source in New York City, began to investigate and confirmed that, in fact, NYPD had what they believed to be was a car bomb, and we began reporting it through our media channels, including sending out a wide email broadcast to thousands of subscribers. We also broadcast it using our Twitter face site, as well as our news blogs, and also some other communication methods. Our news department was on top of this long before CNN, Fox, NBC, or any other major cable or local news media. It wasn't until almost midnight Eastern time last night that the news media picked up on the story and began to even report sporadically of what was going on, which is very disheartening because we don't get car bombs in the U.S. very often. And something as a major event such as this, I'm shocked, really, that the media did not stop all local programming and immediately pick up on live broadcasting from the Times Square area. However, the bottom line is, the good thing is that the bomb did not go off. NYPD was able to dismantle it and tow away the vehicle. They are investigating it today. There is footage, video footage, of a man running away from the vehicle. The vehicle had stolen license tags on it, stolen from Connecticut. The vehicle has not been traced to the owner yet, but NYPD, the federal authorities, Homeland Security, the FBI, and the ATF, along with, I'm sure, at least another half a dozen federal, state, and local agencies are involved in the investigation, and they are actively, obviously, searching for the person or persons who are involved in this horrendous act. Like I said in the top of my segment here, it's extremely lucky, and we are thankful to God today that the bomb did not explode. The Times Square area, especially on a Saturday evening, is extremely crowded and busy. It just so happened that there were two plays happening in the Times Square area. There was a concert event and several other events happening. So there were thousands, literally thousands of people walking up and down that corridor where the vehicle had been parked. So we dodged the bullet, so to speak, this time around. But according to the news statement, is that there are others, and this is just the beginning. So unfortunately, it does look like for us here in the U.S. that the war in the Mideast has come to the U.S. soil. From about 7 or 8 p.m. last night into the very early hours this morning, NYPD and federal authorities scurried about throughout New York City checking the subway system, looking for a secondary bomb, which is often the practice when these terrorists plant bombs. They will often plant a second and third device, as we have seen in other countries. Police quickly began to check the subway system and other important buildings and locations throughout the NYC, the New York City area, and thankfully did not locate any. This could have been a very serious tragedy, and we're glad that for now we can report that it didn't happen. There's no injuries and no deaths at the time being. Well, some other big news happening here in the U.S. before we go any further. There has been some very devastating, severe weather moving throughout the Southeast. As I mentioned on one of the earlier programs, this has been a very horrendous spring season. Spring is generally a tornadic 3 or 4 months, especially in the south and southeast. And over the weekend, 3 people were killed in Arkansas from a tornado, and 5 people died in Tennessee from floods. More than 15 inches of rain has fallen in Tennessee. The interstates, I-40, I-65, I-24, 3 of the largest connecting interstates, north, south, east, and west, were closed. Vehicles stranded, people drowned. It was just a horrific sight. And that weather has not given up. Today, even though it's beautiful here, we are expecting severe weather tonight and tomorrow. And it just looks like the weather will not quit. Tornado season usually is not this severe, but because the weather patterns seem to be all messed up, this is going to be a one of those bad years. If this is any indication as to what our hurricane season is going to be later this year, we're in for some major hurricanes. Remember those people in Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama and Tennessee who have been involved in this weather? Remember them and your thoughts and prayers. This week here at Private Officer International, we've been quite busy as we changed out software and hardware and updated our system. Today's program hopefully will be much louder and clearer. We had a few glitches in the system during previous shows. We think we've got that worked out. We've also updated our computer hardware and software. As we continue to grow, we have to continue to expand our capabilities in the software and hardware departments. The computers have to be updated, and so we worked on that this week. And we're happy to say that we got a lot accomplished. And, you know, when you're a growing company, that's just one of those frequent things you have to do. You have to update your equipment. And if you're a business owner and you don't put your profits back into your business, more than likely your business is going to stall sooner or later. It will stagnate because in order to stay on top of your game, you have to continue to update. You have to continue to expand. You have to continue to upgrade. And so that's what we've been doing this week. Over the last couple of weeks, we've told you a number of things that we're doing, which is very exciting. I won't go into them all with you today because we have talked about them a number of times now, but I do want to mention the chapters. We have been working on this for quite some time now, so we are very happy that we're going to be opening these chapters this month. At least 36 chapters in 9 countries. So we're excited about that. And we hope that you are too. Excuse me, we still have a lot of things to do. And we have several conference calls this week we'll be holding. If you are interested in becoming a chapter manager in your location, or you'd like more information about how to get involved with the area chapter, please email me right now at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. We've also been mentioning about free training. If you, your company, or another business, or maybe your church would be interested in getting some free training, no strings attached whatsoever, you can contact us in the training department. You can email us at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. trainingdivision@privateofficer.com. From May through October, we will be out there, and we will be holding some free seminars, one-day seminars. We'll be teaching about the use of force, the levels of force, and responding to domestic and workplace violence. We'll also be talking about legal liabilities. If you are interested, if you know a company that may need some additional training, please let us know. Email us at trainingdivision@privateofficer.com so that we can schedule your company on our seminar list. Our first area that we'll be going to will be Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi, South and North Carolina, Texas, Kentucky, and Florida. If you are working in that area or you are a business owner and you may be interested in holding a seminar, all you have to do is host us, give us a clean working place where we can have some 25 to 50 people in there, and we will be glad to do that for you. We're looking forward to it. We are looking forward to being able to do some membership recruitment and also networking with the various companies on this tour. You've heard of musical tours, book signing tours. Well, this is a training tour. We're also excited this week because we are continuing to work on our first ever, and this is a big deal, really, first ever online convention and expo. We know that times are tough. We know that you don't have a lot of money to drive to Dallas, Houston, Atlanta, Nashville, or some other location for a convention. So what we're going to do is we're going to bring it to you. This is really an exciting event because you will be able, with just a couple of clicks of your keyboard, you'll be able to be in the midst of a live, current event, a convention and expo, a security convention and expo. We'll have some special guests. We'll have some training seminars. Audio and video interactiveness will be going on. We will have free giveaways and contests. We're also going to have a vendor floor where people will be selling items, and we'll have some sign-ups for giveaways and a whole bunch of stuff happening. If you've ever been to any type of convention, whether it be a Tupperware, a Mary Kay, law enforcement, firefighting, or security, you know it can be very exciting, and we're going to try to harness that excitement and bring it to you on the internet. It will be coming up in June. It will be coming up in June, and it's going to be a huge event. We expect 5,000 to 10,000 people at least during the live event, many more on the demand segment of it, and it's going to be very exciting. Be looking for more information for that. If you or your company or your church would like to become a sponsor, or you would like to rent some booth space on the convention floor, you can do that by sending an email to us at adminassist@privateofficer.com. adminassist@privateofficer.com. The other great thing, you know, about doing this on the internet is that we will be able to reach all of our friends, associates, and members, not only here in the U.S., but all around the world. If you live in Australia, you probably just don't have the funding to hop on a flight and come to Atlanta. If you are a security officer in Canada, you're probably not going to be able to get the time off from your job, or you may not have the funds. So now you can sit at your desk at home or at work and participate in a security convention and see what it's all about. Free of charge, there's no cost, and you can also actively be part of a training or a number of training seminars that will be held, and if you'd like to purchase something, you can also purchase. There'll be numerous items. So far, this event is sponsored by Gear Up, Public Safety Supplies, and Chaplains on Call, and several other companies. So we're very excited about this, and we'll be giving Much more details in the upcoming weeks as this event comes closer and closer to reality. We're very, very excited about this. We have a new interactive training academy online that was placed online this week that we're very excited about. If you are taking any classes through the Public Safety Training Institute, or you would like to, you will be assigned your own private classroom with a password or a key, and you'll take all of your training, all of your exams right there. You'll be able to interact live in your own little world, and it's very, very cool. We are really updating a lot of what we're doing. As we really expand our training division, especially, we're having to update a lot of the material, a lot of the ways that we do things, and we're glad. We're excited about it all. So if you want to take some classes online, well, now you will have your own little space, your own little password, and it'll all be there right at the click of a mouse. While I'm on the radio here today for today's show, if you want to email me, if you have questions, comments, if you want to maybe send us some updates on what's happening in your area, you want to submit some news, anything at all, you can email me at radio@privateofficer.com, radio@privateofficer.com. And if you're listening on demand, later tonight, tomorrow, next week, and you have a question, you can use that email. Anytime you want to ask a question or send a comment, radio@privateofficer.com will work. If you want to follow us on the web, you can do that. Very simply, we are all over the internet, as people found out last night. Just very quickly, I just want to tell you the way that all of this car bomb information came to us is that we got a Twitter feed, a Twitter notice from a company in New York City. And I checked the cable news stations, CNN, Fox, NBC, all of those, headline news, and guess what? It wasn't there. So I began to investigate. And through another email, we confirmed that there was some activity going on in Times Square relating to something suspicious. And within a few minutes, I got another Twitter notice. And that's how it all began. It snowballed from there. We confirmed that there was a car bomb. Police were there. NYPD was actively on scene. The Times Square area had been evacuated. And so we went to work. The news department, myself, and we began to verify and disseminate that information. So it happened very rapidly, and all because of Twitter. If we had not been using it, I would probably not have known about it until CNN or Fox or someone woke up at midnight and said, hey, this probably needs to be reported. I mean, because up until that point, we had no idea, no clue, no information. And so, you know, thank our lucky stars that we, you know, there was a time when we didn't, we used Twitter, and then we canceled it, or just actually just put it on the side and didn't use it because of some issues with privacy. And about, you know, we picked it back up and began to broadcast. So, speaking of Twitter, if you do not have a Twitter account, go ahead and sign up for one. Just don't do it right now during the program, but later on, because like the big boys, like all of the big news agencies and all the big companies who use Twitter, we have signed up for the Twitter feed, which allows us to connect our news blog directly with Twitter. So anytime that we post a news item, a special event item, or anything on our blog, it automatically updates Twitter, automatically. So go ahead and sign up for Twitter if you don't already have an account. And you can find us there at Twitter/PrivateOfficer. And we will tweet frequently because now it's connected to our news blog, and we update that throughout the day, 24/7. And if you've ever read our news blog, you can testify. There are times when we update the news blog at 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon, other times when it's 9 in the morning. We're constantly updating security police news on the news blog. So you can follow us anyways on the web at privateofficer.com, which is our main website, which we've had to update this weekend because of some issues with it. You can also follow us on Twitter/PrivateOfficer. You can follow us at Facebook. We're going to also be connecting our Facebook page this week with our news blog, so it will automatically update. You can find us at Facebook/PrivateOfficer.com. You can also read our news blog direct just by going to PrivateOfficerNews@WordPress.com, privateofficernews.wordpress.com. And if you're interested in the security news from around the world, you can go to securityworldnews.wordpress.com. We have a pretty good footprint on the internet, and we're continuously expanding that. We're continuously getting in to new areas. As you know, the internet and social networking really is the way to market these days. It is the way to reach more people. And in fact, most companies are using the internet, using social networking, than standard classified newspaper ads more and more. And so if you are looking for a job and you are looking at your local classifieds, they're just not there because, you know, placing a classified ad in the newspaper is extremely expensive. And now you can do it much cheaper on the internet by going to the various job posting boards and the job sites. You can do it cheaper, longer, and you can reach more people. So, many companies just are not using the classifieds. So we also are expanding our internet presence, and we are looking for some other sites to become involved in where we can network and on the internet, and we can grow our brand, which is Private Officer. Good news this week, several items. We told you last week about a company called GetSecurityGuardJobs.com. If you need a security position, you can go to their website, GetSecurityGuardJobs.com. We have recently been selected by that company as one of their resources, and they have posted Private Officer International on their website as a resource to the private security community, and we're excited about that. Obviously, that says something about our caliber, about what we're doing for the security industry, and they took notice of it, and now we are a permanent resource for that website. Also this week, New Bright Industries, a very large company, has announced that they will be using Private Officer International and the Public Safety Training Institute as their training source, and we're very happy about that event, about that announcement, because, again, to have large companies select you as their training source or as a resource that they use or recommend, that speaks volumes about your worthiness, who you are, and what you're doing. And we're very, very excited about all of these things that's happening for us and to us. This week we want to recognize happy birthday to Andrew John Foster. He is in England, the UK. Happy birthday, Andrew. I'm not sure how old you are, but we hope that you have many more birthdays, that you have had a happy one this year, and that you've been blessed. And we really are excited to have you as a member of Private Officer International. Richard Cohen in Norwalk, Connecticut, happy Jones, Davy Jones, happy birthday, 60 years old, in Springfield, Massachusetts. We're very, very excited about all of the new members that we're getting, all of the new contacts, networking, all of the various things happening to the association. And if you are not yet a member, well, you certainly want to be, and you certainly need to be. And it's very easy and very inexpensive today to sign up to become a member. Just go to privateofficer.com, click on the Security Association page. We'd like to highlight a story that I became aware of earlier this week in Palm Bay, Florida. A 62-year-old security officer who was off duty. He was going to the bank. He happened to stop in at the Space Coast Credit Union. And what he found was not what he was looking for. What he found was a robbery in progress. He was unarmed and in plain clothes. And he quietly slipped out of the bank, went to his vehicle, and got his weapon, which he had a permit for, by the way. And he was able to apprehend Floyd Francis, 23, and took him into custody for bank robbery. You know, obviously the police do not recommend that citizens get involved in these type of crimes. It is very dangerous. But Security Officer Torres, who is an experienced security officer, said that this was just another day. Ruben Torres, private security officer, congratulations to you. It was an excellent apprehension. And we will also be recommending you for an award. This doesn't happen every day, but sometimes when you're out there, you bump into these situations. It's happened to me a number of times. It's happened to my friend over in the UK just recently when he stopped off at the 7-Eleven for some milk in the morning. It happened to a friend of mine in New Mexico when he stopped off again for a cup of coffee on the way to work. And guess what? Robbery in progress. You know, when you're there face to face with the guy who's holding up the store, you have two choices. You can either try to thwart that robbery, interrupt that robbery, or you can run for your life. And sometimes you have no choice because you're caught off guard. You're there. You're not looking for a robbery. You're not looking for anything out of the ordinary, and all of a sudden you become part of it. You're in the middle of it, and you have to take action. And for those of us who are prepared and trained and experienced, luckily, most of the time, we know what to do. And so in this particular case, Security Officer Torres was an experienced security person, and he took down the bank robber. Nobody was hurt. A felon is now off the street, and the bank is out no money. Hopefully they will reward him with maybe a little, you know, cash in his pocket. But these things happen, and you have to be prepared to respond way or the other. In the emails this week, Kevin Rice said, it's a joy, he says, to see a site like Private Officer. Well, thank you very much. It's a joy to see someone like you appreciate all that we're doing. Chris wrote in saying that he is extremely excited about all of the events happening. He is not yet a member, but will be soon. A little footnote here. Many times people do not become involved in all the activities happening the contest and so forth because they're not a member, either because financially they can't afford to be at the current present time or for whatever reason. And any of our contests, any of our programs, any of our training that is offered free, you can participate in without being a member. There are a number of benefits for members, and it is recommended that you become a member as quickly as possible. But if you want to participate in any of our contests, for instance, we have a best dressed officer and best looking patrol vehicle contest going on right now. You don't have to be a member of the association. We invite everyone from around the world to join in and become part of all of the festivities, all the activities, all the excitement happening at privateofficer.com. Speaking about the best dressed officer and vehicle contest, we've had some excellent entries, and it's not too late. This will end mid-June, so you can submit your picture of yourself or coworker or your patrol vehicle, and you may become a winner. We have about a month, a little more than a month left of the contest, and it's an exciting thing. This is, again, one of those first in security that I've ever heard of. It has been done before for law enforcement, but not for the private security industry. So get your pictures in, send them to adminassist@privateofficer.com. Also, it's not too late to send your submission for Security in Motion. You can instantly become an author just by sending in a 200 or more word incident that's happened to you or someone that you know in the security industry. It may have been a burglary you've been involved in, a chase. It may have been something that was very scary or weird. And we've had some of those stories come into us that has been pretty weird. But if you would like to become involved, all that you have to do is send us your 200-plus word writing at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and you'll become an instant author. You'll be recognized in the book, the compilation book that we're putting together, Security in Motion, which we hope to be published later in the fall of this year. All the proceeds from the book will go to the Private Officer Memorial Benevolent Fund. Next Sunday, we have several big, exciting things happening. You will not want to miss that. It is not too late for you to submit your name or your employee's name or your coworker's name for the quarterly Private Officer Awards. We will announce that soon. If you are, maybe you've been involved in one of those apprehensions of the robbery suspects, maybe you've been involved in something that is worthy of an award, or you're just a good overall employee, send that information to us at adminassist@privateofficer.com, and we will send it to the awards committee for them to review, and we'll be making that announcement soon. This week, unfortunately, we do have some officer down reports to tell you about. It's been a deadly week in law enforcement. We've had a number of police officers killed throughout the U.S. Luckily, none in New York City last night during the car bomb situation, but it could very well have been. It was very close when the officer spotted smoke coming from within the vehicle. The bomb could have exploded then, but luckily it didn't. However, yesterday in Maplewood, Minnesota. Maplewood is a suburb of St. Paul. Sergeant Joseph Burgoyne, Sergeant Joseph Bergeron, excuse me, was killed during an ambush. Police say that he was investigating a carjacking that had happened earlier. He got out to question a couple of men that fit the description of possible suspects. He got into a chase, and they opened fire on him and fatally wounded him. Sergeant Joseph Bergeron was killed on scene, and police say that he has served with the Maplewood Police Department for 26 years. He is married, and he has twin daughters. Also this week, in Calhoun County, Texas, this also happened yesterday, a Constable John Brown, 63 years old, was working a special event. Authorities say that he was working at a local pavilion providing security for an outdoor event when he noticed a person that he believed had arrest warrants outstanding. The constable, which in Texas, constables are like deputy sheriffs. They have a constable's office. And evidently, the constable called for the sheriff's department backup units. They questioned the suspect. They placed him under arrest, and he got into a altercation with the officers. And according to authorities, Constable John Brown had a heart attack after the arrest and could not be revived. Officer John Brown was with the Calhoun County Constable's Office in Port O'Connor, Texas. Funeral arrangements for him has not yet been announced. Another tragic death, law enforcement death, in Lexington, Kentucky. Lexington Fayette Urban County Police Department, the Lexington Metro Police. Police officer Brian J. Derman, 27 years old. He's only been on the force for 2 years. Was involved in a chase. The suspect ran into him and killed him. Officer Derman is survived by his family. He was killed on Thursday. Tragic event. Another death out of Texas, Officer Rodney Holder of the Abilene Police Department. 50 years old, been on the force for 28 years. Police say that he was involved in a motorcycle pursuit. He was a motorcycle officer, and he was chasing a speeding vehicle when he was hit by a car and killed. Officer Rodney Holder, a 28-year veteran, leaves behind a wife and children. In Utah, police there say Sergeant Franco Aguilar of the Sevier County Sheriff's Office in Utah was investigating an accident. And at the time of the investigation, it had been snowing out. And evidently, he fell off a bridge several hundred feet to his death. Five law enforcement officers, five killed within 3 days here in the U.S. And very tragic. We have, unfortunately, in the U.S., we have a high number of law enforcement officers who are killed in the line of duty. Some years, the numbers really skyrocket. Other years, they hold around 100. This year, looking at the numbers right now, it looks like we're going to have a very high death rate of law enforcement officers, and it's a very tragic situation. Being in law enforcement is an honorable job, and it's not very prestigious. It doesn't pay a lot of money. A lot of people don't like you, but it is an honorable job and a job that few people want. If you are in law enforcement, you are a chosen one. This week, we'd like to say congratulations to Kip Storm of Shreveport, Louisiana, graduated from the Public Safety Training Institute, certified asset protection professional designation, and Kip was in the top 1% of his class. So congratulations, Kip Storm, Shreveport, Louisiana. James Barnes, Terre Haute, Indiana, he also completed his church security certification, and congratulations to you, James. Great job. You know, we often say that training equates to money and life-saving skills, and it certainly does. We have a lot of news this week to tell you about. A lot of things. I could probably sit here all day and go over the news if I had the time. In fact, I've been asked recently, why don't we talk more about the news going on, the security news going on in other parts of the country? Well, to answer that question, there are two reasons. One, the news is not disseminated to the degree that it is here in the U.S. For instance, we do have a pretty good news channel method of obtaining news from Canada and from England, the U.K. But in other parts of the country, the news is sporadic. It comes sometimes frequently, and other times the source is dried up. We don't get any news at all. The other reason is that the majority of our members are, of course, in the U.S., although we do probably now have members in 10 countries, and that continues to grow, and we continue to add members in the U.K., in Australia, and Canada, and other parts of the world, and that's exciting. But we do get most of our news information from the U.S. And as we continue to grow, we will be adding more news resources for other parts of the world. The other thing that you know, you have to realize also is that we are dealing with multiple countries. Although some do speak English, many do not. We currently have students in foreign countries that translate our lessons using various software. They do not speak, nor do they understand English, but they're taking our courses, which I think is pretty interesting. And they are using software to translate both ways, the information we send to them and the information they send back to us. So those are the reasons why we don't really have a whole lot of news from around the country, from around the world, rather. We have a lot of interest from a lot of countries, but as we sign up more and more members, and as we become larger in various parts of the world, we will add additional news, resources, and news items specifically for their area. So if you're listening to me today in Canada or UK or Australia, and you have security news that you want us to broadcast to be part of our program, send it to me right now at radio@privateofficer.com. radio@privateofficer.com. You know, and we'll be glad to share that with our listeners, and we'll be glad to add that to our news post on the blogs. Speaking of news, this week in the news in Louisville, Kentucky, more than 400 private security and special security police officers are on patrol right now for the 135th Kentucky Derby. Private security personnel are working everywhere from Churchill Downs, which is the race course. They're walking patrol beats in the neighborhoods of the races. They are walking patrols in the entertainment district. Jim Brown, security manager for Special Patrol, says that his officers already patrol many of the businesses, but he has had to hire a few extra for this event. It's a yearly event. As you know, more than 100,000 people come into the city just to see this grand race. Both the Kentucky State Police and Louisville Metro Police say that they are on, of course, heightened alert for fights, disturbances, drunk drivers, things of that nature. And about 400 private security officers are also on the beat, so to speak, this weekend. Now, the race did run yesterday, so the race is over, but there are still events going on. There are always dinner parties and various events being held during Kentucky Derby. So it's a pretty big and exciting event, and there's a lot of private security working at that in that city right now. In Marianna, Florida, security there at the Walmart apprehended Davida Shea Brannon, 20, for shoplifting. That in itself, no big news. Happens every day, thousands of times. In fact, we're going to be doing a three-part series coming up in a couple of weeks about loss prevention and mall security, which is very exciting. If you've ever want to work, if you want to work in law enforcement, and or you want to work in security and do something exciting, loss prevention is as close as you can get to police work. It's very exciting. There's lots of investigations going on, apprehensions. And we'll be talking more about that in our upcoming series. But anyways, in this news event, police say that they arrived to the Walmart store because security had apprehended the shoplifter. And when they began to search her, they found drugs on her, weapons, syringes, razor blades. So she is charged with numerous felonies. What started out as a minor, simple shoplifting case wound up becoming a major felony arrest for store security and just a good bust going on at the Walmart there in Florida. Have you heard about this? This is really, this story here really had me hot under the collar this week. In Citra, Florida, a North Marion High School gym teacher has been arrested. Now, there has been a lot of arrests of teachers for having sex with students, but this isn't one of those cases. No, he didn't go that direction. What he did instead was he decided to steal from the students while they were at gym. He went back into the locker room and stole their dollars and quarters and $10 and over the last year or so, he has stolen hundreds of dollars from the lockers of students. This is a teacher. Police say that Stephen Simmons, the teacher, was arrested after, and this is kind of a cool thing, listen to this, after a student decided to play investigator. The student was fed up with having money stolen from his locker, and other students reportedly also had money reported stolen a number of times. So what this one individual student did was he took his cell phone and set it up in an empty locker. Now, cell phones these days have video on them. You can record video, you can take pictures. It doesn't have to be a BlackBerry. Many regular cell phones now can record video. And so what he did when they went to gym was he put this phone, his cell phone, into an empty locker, which has a little grid or a little opening into it, and he turned the video on, and sure enough, when he came back from gym, the suspect was there on his video, there on his cell phone, and the suspect turned out to be a teacher, Stephen Simmons, and Stephen is no longer a teacher. He is a member of the jail population. He has been charged with multiple counts of theft. And here's the sad thing. Police say that he's a 25-year veteran teacher. He's been working for the school district for 25 years. 25. I know times are tough. I know it's hard to make ends meet these days. But luckily, he had a job. Luckily, he had was employed by a school district. Obviously, they don't pay, you know, that great, but he's making a whole lot more than if he worked at Walmart or KFC or McDonald's, and he blew it. 25 years of his life now is wasted because he no longer has a job, and he is going to have a criminal record, all for petty theft. Staten Island, New York, security on the job there, arrested three Queens, New York residents for fraud and identity theft when they realized that they were using some techniques to steal. Police say that the suspects had come into the store, had come into the mall with booster bags. If you're not aware of what those are big shopping bags where they insulate them usually with tin foil so that they can go through the alarm systems and not set off the alarm system. But this particular trio went a step further when they took a laundry bag to the mall with them, which had metal hooks. And what they would do is they would use the metal hooks to remove the plastic sensors from the clothing and stuffed it into the booster bags. They also are charged with identity theft. Not sure what that's all about, but they face a number of felony charges. So that was good work by mall security, and also store security was involved in that arrest. In Slidell, Louisiana, yesterday afternoon, police there say a security officer who was working at the family drugstore on Gossy Boulevard. Evidently, he was in the store when two masked men came in armed to rob the place. They did not see the security officer at first. He pulled his weapon. Luckily, it was an armed guard position, and he was armed. He pulled his weapon, and a firefight ensued. The two armed robbers and the security officer exchanged a number of shots. The suspects ran from the store. Police say that they're not sure if anyone was hit. They don't believe so. Police did capture one of the robbers and have charged him with armed robbery. They're looking for a second suspect. But, you know, imagine now that we are working this pharmacy or this Walmart or this store unarmed. And two armed robbers come in, hell-bent on robbing this place. They have already committed themselves to the robbery when they enter armed. They're not going to back away. They're not going to all of a sudden change their mind. And then here you are in uniform, the protector of the store, the protector of the people. But guess what? You're unarmed. Now you can't protect anyone. You can't even protect yourself. And now you are the victim. That's why we advocate armed security in many situations with, of course, the proper training. Colorado Springs, Colorado police there say that they've arrested a security officer there. Nate Landis was arrested. They say that he was involved in a confrontation with a man outside of a billiards location. According to police, the persons involved tried to pass a counterfeit, $20 bill. The security officer recognized it, confronted them outside. The vehicle had their driver's side door open, and the security officer was knocked down. He, in turn, fired two rounds from his handgun at the vehicle as it sped off. Police investigating said that it was unnecessary force, unnecessary deadly force. There was no reason for it. And they have charged him with reckless endangerment. I have not seen the police report. I do not know. I have not talked with the security officer. I don't know the entire details of this incident. To me, it sounds like a possible deadly force incident. The vehicle was involved in a felony, the suspects, passing counterfeit money. That's a felony. They did knock the security officer down with the car door as they tried to speed away. That is vehicular assault, aggravated assault. And in fact, depending on what happened, it could even be considered in some jurisdictions attempted murder. We don't know what happened exactly. We weren't there, obviously. But we will be following this story because it's a possible situation, possible. And I only emphasize possible situation where deadly force might have been allowed. Not having been there, I can't confirm that. But anyways, this security officer, unfortunately, was arrested in this situation. I guess the police... You know, their theory is that the vehicle was leaving, that the security officer was no longer at harm's way or in harm's way, no longer at risk of being injured, and therefore should have refrained from firing his weapon. In Virginia, another security officer has been arrested at the Lynn Haven Mall, and he's charged with sex crimes. This is a very upsetting, disgusting, an aggravating situation. Virginia Beach, Virginia police arrested Darnell Florence. Police say that he exposed himself to an employee of the mall. He then followed her into the dressing rooms, again exposing himself, making sexual statements to a female employee. He also had groped this employee earlier in the week. Police arrested Florence after the manager of the store called 911. He's charged with indecent exposure and sexual battery. Florence, Darnell Florence, was employed by Securitas. Another slap in the face for private security. Another bad mark. And, hopefully the justice system will deal with him appropriately. In Philadelphia, an armored car security officer shot and killed an unarmed robber. That happened Friday. Police say that he was coming out of the dollar store when a robber walked up to him, choked the security officer, and grabbed the bag of money. The security officer then fired and shot the man four times, hitting him in the chest and the arms. The man died about an hour later. So far, police investigators are saying no charges have been filed. It is still under investigation, and anything is possible, folks. Police could look at this as an unnecessary use of force because the man was unarmed, but the man was involved in the commission of a felony, and he did choke the security officer, which in itself could be considered enough to use deadly force. We are also going to be following this, in the next few days, especially this week, because they should have some type of determination, I'd say Monday or Tuesday at the very latest, and we will update you on this. In Atlanta, Georgia, here in the metro cities, the Atlanta Police Department has joined forces with a number of schools because in the downtown area, a crime wave has continued to persist now for a long time. A number of college students have been robbed. Just this past week, two were kidnapped right off the street, stuffed into the back of the vehicle. Luckily, one of them had a cell phone and was able to call 911. Police located the vehicle and took it down, arrested the suspects, and rescued the students who were trapped inside the trunk of the vehicle. But that actually was the second carjacking in just a few weeks. So now police from five of the universities located in the downtown area have gotten involved, and they've formed a task force, the Georgia State, Georgia Tech, Clark Atlanta University, Morehouse School of Medicine, and Spelman University all have police departments, and they all will be joining forces on a special task force with Atlanta PD. In Austin, Texas, police say that a shoplifter involved in the shoplifting in Walmart was killed during a high-speed chase that reached 80 to 90 miles an hour. The vehicle hit a telephone pole. The suspects, there were four of them in all, three of them attempted to flee, but the fourth one was killed. Kenneth Stephen Carter, 37, died after the driver of the vehicle slammed into a telephone pole. And again, these situations happen. It's a petty larceny, or it may have been a felony larceny, and all of a sudden they take off, and now police don't know why. They have no clue. Why is this person taking off? Is he a wanted murder suspect? Is he wanted for more violent crimes? Maybe he, who knows? And so they have to chase, they have to try and stop the vehicle to find out what's going on. And unfortunately, in this situation, one of the passengers involved in the shoplifting died. And that happens. I want to reiterate to you that if you are listening today and you are not a member of the association, but you want to become involved, you want to submit an article for the news blogs that we have. You want to be submit an article to be considered for the Security in Motion book. You want to participate in the contest. You want to be part of the online convention coming up next month. You can certainly do that. You don't have to be a member, but we do encourage you to join the association because of a number of reasons. The more members that we have, obviously the more benefits that we'll be able to offer to our members. It gives us a stronger voice in the security community. It also helps us when we're trying to represent you in the political arena. So we definitely encourage you to become a member. Today we want to talk a little bit. We're going to be doing a two-part series. We're going to entitle this, I feel like a preacher today. Yeah, today we're going to be having our two-part Bible study. No, we're going to be doing a two-part series, and we're going to be titling this Private Security's Role in Law Enforcement. We will be talking today a little bit about this, and then we will follow up on Wednesday. And in a longer version of Wednesday's program, Wednesday will be broadcasting live at 7:30 Eastern Time as we continue to use a couple of different time slots to help our various listeners around the world to catch us live instead of on demand. But we're going to be talking a little bit today about the private security's role in law enforcement, and then on Wednesday, we'll follow that up with the conclusion. Isn't this exciting? So today we want to talk a little bit about how security can become involved and what their role might be in law enforcement. You may not have known this, but private security has been deputized or commissioned in law enforcement since the very early days of the world. But we're going to talk a little bit today. We're not going to go back quite that far, although private security has been used since the biblical days. And if you go back and look at the Bible, you'll see where security guards were used for guarding temples, prisons, government buildings, and so forth. But today, we're going to be talking about the security's role throughout the years in law enforcement. You may not be quite aware of this, but if you've ever heard of a company called Pinkerton Security, Pinkerton Security was established by Alan Pinkerton in 1850. But before even then, security had been deputized as town marshals as back as early as 1745. In 1850, Pinkerton came along, and during a labor, a businessman hired Pinkerton to hire some other people. Follow me on this now. A businessman hired Alan Pinkerton and said, hey, you go hire some people to infiltrate these unions, these strikers. Get in there and find out what they're all about. Find out what they're planning on doing and report back to me. So Alan Pinkerton's detective agency was born, and he began to investigate union members, and he began to work strike control. Along about the same time, his agents were involved in the discovery of some information on a plot to kill the president. The president immediately deputized some of his agents to guard his family, himself, and some others. Very interesting, huh? Pinkerton agents were also called in to enforce the laws during a large strike in 1877. Pinkertons have been used on various trains, mail routes, and other things in the very early stages of the company. They were also hired to track down Jesse James, the Reno Gang, the Wild Bunch, including Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. In fact, they were referenced in several movies about the Sundance Kid, and they've been referenced in the Westerns a number of times. The Pinkerton Detective Agency was also used and deputized to patrol a number of cities and towns to protect them against outlaws when no one would take the town marshal or the town sheriff's job. Security personnel have been deputized for a number of years back in the 1700s and 1800s to protect courts and jails and provide town patrols. As we moved into the World War I era, 1914 through 1918, private security personnel was used and deputized. And when I say deputized, I mean they were given special law enforcement type authority during World War I, as many men went off to war, including those who were employed in law enforcement and those who were sworn personnel. They were called off to war. Pinkerton was deputized to patrol and to provide those services that were being provided by the law enforcement community. From 1914 to 1918, so they had special authority. Other agencies also were used, other private security agencies were used during that time to provide a number of law enforcement type services to the various communities during World War I. World War II rolls around 1939 to 1945. A special legislative law enacted allowed private security, who was guarding ammunition, factories, and other vital services, to be deputized and sworn in as special police officers. Those special police officers provided a number of services to the communities where they lived, including guarding the ammunition sites, the military sites, the various target type sites. And so private security has always, since the very beginning of time, been used in some form or other of law enforcement. They have had their security duties, but they've always had some other form of authority to make arrests, to make stops, to check suspicious people, so on and so forth, and to enforce the law. Just in the last week, a news article from England said that 17,000 security officers, bouncers, and doormen will be given a sweeping authority to arrest and to issue tickets and fines for various offenses. Most of them would be considered misdemeanor offenses here in the U.S., minor offenses, but nonetheless, they will have special police authority to cut down on some of the drunkards and some of the criminal activity going on in their area. 17,000 security officers, bouncers, doormen, and also recently I saw a news article about New Zealand also giving security personnel special authority, law enforcement type authority. This is nothing new in the U.S. or other countries. I'm not saying that we should deputize every private security guard and just put them out there to arrest people. That's not what I'm saying. On Wednesday, we'll be talking more about the training aspect and about our real role, security's real role in law enforcement. I do believe that there will be more and more of this as time goes on. Currently, in the U.S., there are between 14 and 18 states that specifically have laws on the book that allow private security to make limited arrest on private property. In South Carolina, statutes in South Carolina say that an armed security person who has completed the training are considered deputy sheriffs under the statutes while working on private property, while working on the client's property. No, not downtown, not on the way to work, not on their day off, but while on duty on private property under the statute, they have the same authority as any deputy sheriff in South Carolina. In Virginia, the same thing. Virginia, Maryland, and Washington, D.C. Private security personnel have special police authority under statute. In Virginia, again, if you are an armed security person and you've gone through that special class, under statutes, under the written statutes, the laws already in place, private security personnel are considered special police officers. They have the same arrest authority as any municipal, city, state, or county police officer on private property, not walking down the street, not on public city streets, but on the private property. So if they are, for instance, working at a mall, a shopping center, then they could make an arrest for anything, disorderly conduct, trespassing, theft, robbery, so on and so forth. And again, we'll be talking in greater detail about this on Wednesday. Washington, D.C., Maryland, special police powers under state statutes if you are an armed security officer. Missouri, New York, many locations have similar authority, and we'll be talking more about that on Wednesday. The bottom line is that private security personnel's duties are not as they were 20, 30, 40 years ago. We at Private Officer International and we in the security industry realize the changes. As I said before, there are many levels of doctors. Not every doctor is a brain surgeon. Not every lawyer is a criminal attorney. And not every security person is a guard sitting at the gate signing people in and out. Yes, they do have those duties in some cases. But more and more over, the majority of private security personnel are proactive. They are being put into positions of patrolling, investigating, and responding to everything from a disturbance or a theft to a shooting, a robbery, and even murder. With training comes responsibility, and you're going to see in the very near future more and more locations going into this deputizing and commissioning of private security personnel with limited police authority. And we can advocate that from our association standpoint, with some stipulations. Training is a must. Oversight is a must. We'll be talking about these on Wednesday. Is there room for commission or special police security agents? Is this necessary? If you want to chime in, you are more than welcome to send me an email at radio@privateofficer.com. We will read those comments on Wednesday's program, radio@privateofficer.com. More often than not, there's a lot of legality questions. There's a lot of reasons for having this extra authority that we'll be talking more about on Wednesday. But more times than not, the authority is not necessary, but it's always good to have. Many times, you don't realize it, but many times, many police departments, such as campus police departments, public safety departments, are basically private security personnel with a little bit of extra authority given to them by statute, by legislation. And basically that's what England and New Zealand is doing. They are adding a little wording language in the law which permits certain type of authority, extra authority, for private security. I'm concerned on one hand, and on the other hand, I can see the necessity of it. Concerned, as we say, about the training aspect and the oversight. On the other hand, as more police departments continue to have budget problems, police departments are laying off officers. We've read in the last week two police departments, a police department and a sheriff's department actually, have gone out of business. Can you believe this? Gone out of business. Put the story on my news blog. You can go check it out. They've shut down. They have no funding. They don't want to be part of the patrolling and law enforcement community without a budget. I mean, you know, they can't be. They don't have the personnel, the budget. So they've decided, one sheriff's department has decided to allow local police departments to take up the slack. Another department has said, oh, well, I guess the county will have to step in and patrol. As we see this happening more and more with budgets being cut and slashed, officers being laid off, police resources being stretched to the limits, you're going to see more and more private security personnel, especially large companies, shopping malls, complexes that have a lot of public activity going for the special authority, the special commission or deputizing security personnel with some limited law enforcement responsibility because this helps them and the liability department, helps them to be able to make the arrest right now without having to wait an hour for the police. And we'll be talking more about that on Wednesday. And we will have an extended show on Wednesday as well, just like we did today. The show for today is over. We're going to wrap it up. We're glad that you joined us. We hope that this week that you'll be safe in all that you do. If you have any questions from us or comments, you can send to us at radio@privateofficer.com. We encourage you to become if you are not. We also would love for you to become involved in the Security in Motion book and also in the Security Officer Contest. Until we talk to you the next time on the radio, Wednesday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time, be safe, God bless, and we'll talk to you again soon on the radio.